I went to college to become a public school teacher.
And I was a product of public school. My mom was a public school teacher for 30 years.
But when we had our own kids, our perspectives slowly began to change.
Now that we've experienced Christian school for our daughter, we can't imagine doing it any other way. I'm Chris Stegall.
And I'm Christine Stegall. We hope you'll join us with your kids in Making the Leap.
I implore you, if for some reason you're listening to this show and you're still not sure about making the leap, if stories like this don't convince you, nothing's going to. Our children are really now, I hate to say it, it's now a matter of our children being in danger. Hey there, welcome into this edition of Making the Leap. Glad to have you along. You picked a good one to download today. Conversation I just had not too long ago with Kirk Cameron. This is somebody that I had wanted to talk to for a little bit, and he's working on a new project, a new children's television show. I know the squealing middle school girl in you is probably excited about the interview.
It was a good one. I delayed my morning routine to make sure that I could sit and listen live so that I did not have to wait till later in the day. That was exciting, and it was, just because I know a little bit of the story, a little bit of the growth, you know, from here to there kind of thing that I really wanted to hear.
So we'll have some of that coming up for you in just a little bit. But first, we thought we'd kind of start with some interesting news that's been percolating. This was another story that actually broke on my Philadelphia radio show this week. And it's something that our friends at The Lion, at readlion.com, have picked up. It's a story that is not getting a lot of attention. And it's interesting because I've been doing some media this week.
Right.
I went on Washington, D.C. morning radio this week because they thought it paralleled very similarly to stories that we were hearing out of Loudoun County.
That's what I was thinking. Stories in the bathroom and yeah.
So the story, if you go to readlion.com, you can really read a nice summary of it. And it's really one of the first media outlets. The Washington Examiner, I know, has covered it this week. This is another story of a public school and a public school district, this time in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania.
The North Penn School District.
Yeah, the North Penn School District, and this particular middle school, I should say. I'll summarize it. I'll handicap it, and you correct me where I'm wrong.
Sure.
It sounds like it's another case of a student that has been transferred from one school to another who has a pretty violent past.
Yes.
Who ended up assaulting, after just 2 days in this new school, ended up assaulting a girl with a Stanley mug.
Right. Like one of those heavy, yes. I mean, there's a million sizes, right? But those are not light. Those are not small plastic little cups.
Hitting, and I'll spare you the details. You can read them if you want, but it's pretty brutal.
But they're graphic.
It's bloody. It's graphic.
It's horrible. And to imagine, I mean, that's what I taught, right? I was in middle school. Altercations happened. Fights happened. But this wasn't a fight. This was an attack. And I think that's something that's really important to differentiate for people, because that's the kind of thing that I think sometimes school administrators want to label things as, but this wasn't a, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this back and forth. This was, I have a list. There was a rumored hit list. I have a list of people, and this student was choosing to come after different people on different days.
Well, that's the remarkable thing about this student and their transfer into this school is they had been there. The student had been there 2 days.
2 or 3 days, yeah.
They got there on a Monday, and by Wednesday, assailing this 13-year-old girl with the Stanley mug. Now, the part of the story that
Got no coverage.
None until
had no mentions.
readlion.com covered it and mentioned it. The Washington Examiner has subsequently covered it. Mm-hmm. This was not a girl fight. This was originally reported as two girls in middle school getting into this fight. No, it was not.
No.
It was a transgender student. It was a biological male posing as a girl who had just entered this school and, as you mentioned, had this hit list and beat this girl senseless with a mug.
And along with, I think I know that's the big piece, that kind of the media overshadowing the part
they won't
that
talk about
a transgender
it. No one, no local
involved.
Media in Philadelphia, no one would mention this as a transgender student.
And the other piece of it too is that people knew, like not about the transgender. I think they knew that part too, the transgender issue, but they also knew that this was something that was being talked about, shared about, and had been reported. So they have someone with obvious issues and things going on combined with this list. An absolute solid information of this is what I'm being told. This is what I'm hearing. They, you know, some of these kids had gone to the counselor's office, gone to administration, reported it, and crickets, you know, just crickets, nothing.
So I wanted to play for this audience a couple of different conversations that I had this week on my radio show. And I play them for you because it's the importance of parents stepping up. This is going to sound very, those of you who know about Loudoun County, this is going to sound very familiar. Similar. It's going to sound familiar to those of you who went through the COVID. This probably sound familiar to you with the COVID stuff from years ago.
Yep.
This is a woman that I spoke to on the show who, her name is Alyssa Santiago. She has a daughter in the school who was on this hit list. Thankfully, was not involved in the altercation.
But witnessed it in the cafeteria.
That's right. And for the first time, she decided, I got to go to the school board meeting and get to the bottom of this and speak up. And she did. And we had a fascinating conversation with her. And right after this conversation, you're going to hear a guy who went viral on the Libs of TikTok site.
Yes.
This is a very interesting guy because
this is the one that, I mean, I fully respect the mom for going and speaking. She should. But the guy that did that, that went and spoke, really was the one that jumped out at me because it was very reminiscent of what something that Riley Gaines had said to us when she spoke with us several months ago. Where are the men?
Yeah.
And not just the dads, but where are the men? Where are the protectors? Where are the people to come speak?
And so this is kind of a back-to-back conversation. You'll hear from Alyssa Santiago, one of the mothers involved in this story with the daughter in school. And listen carefully for how she ultimately concludes she wants to educate her kids going forward. Mm-hmm. That I couldn't resist getting tucked in there in that conversation. But then, yes, listen to the conversation with Yanni Landros is the gentleman right after this conversation. This is a coffee shop owner in the community. He has no children.
No.
He and his wife would like to have children someday. He's a younger man. He owns a coffee shop, and he was fit to be tied. His video, his testimony before this same school board meeting, explosive, and it went viral. And I was shocked later to learn, you'll hear in this conversation, I originally thought he had kids just because of his visceral anger.
Right, because of how he reacted.
He didn't. This was just a concerned citizen being a concerned citizen and a man, a leader in the community as a business owner. You'll love this part of the conversation as well. So take a listen to both of these, and then we'll come back with your response.
Yeah.
All right, so now we get to the school board meeting, and we're going to speak with Mr. Lambros in a little bit. Were you at this school board meeting last week?
I was. Yes, I was. I spoke, my husband and I.
Can you describe it?
It was a very eerie feeling walking in there. I didn't even know I was going to speak, actually. And when I saw my daughter's friend get up, I said to myself, like, if she can do this, I can do this. Everybody was outraged. Everybody was outraged. I spoke, kind of called Todd out because we want answers.
That's the superintendent?
We want answers, and we weren't getting them. Mother after father went up there asking the same questions, and that board just sat there and stared. Now, maybe they can't comment due to, you know, legal issues, fine. But we just wanted answers.
How do you describe the folks that make up the school board and your superintendent for that matter? Are they, have you been unhappy with them heretofore? Are they good people? Are they compassionate people? How do you describe these people?
I will be honest. This is my first school board meeting I've ever attended. So I wasn't aware of any of them who were on it.
Have you heard others comment on them one way or the other, their effectiveness or non-effectiveness?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, I've heard others comment. I can't really say too much about it because, like I said, it's just hearsay. But it was not handled correctly. And I don't need to even know that just by having interactions with the school board because I had interactions with the principal and he did nothing.
Is it important, Alyssa Santiago, joining us this morning, by the way, parent of a girl at Pembroke Middle School, and on this hit list of this student, your daughter was one that this student had targeted to attack as well, and thankfully that didn't happen. But you go to this school board meeting, and you don't get a lot of response, just blank stares. Do you get the impression that the blank stares come from what, a political reaction, a lack of ability to answer because of legalities, or, I mean, what do you expect to hear from these people? A little bit of compassion, I would guess, at least?
Compassion. Yeah. Compassion, mm-hmm. At least. I'm sorry. An apology. the email that was sent out to us parents was horrific, calling it a fight and to talk to our children about consequences of fighting. This was not a fight. This is a brutal attack against another little girl by a boy. This is not a fight. And it was not random. And it could have been avoided. It could have been avoided. Like I said, I called twice. And they ensured that the safety of my child was fine. And that the student I mentioned was talked to. And if I had any other questions, feel free to email. I didn't even get a phone call. I got an email, a generic email.
I don't want to be too political here, but I'll just ask you generally. Do the politics of the day, when we're talking about biological males becoming female, you know, just Friday, I don't know how much you followed this. Title IX rules have been rewritten by the Biden administration that says now biological males have every right to be in the locker rooms and competing on sports teams with biological girls. We're clearly going in this direction, and I guess I would just ask you, as a mother of a middle school girl, kind of your overall reaction to where we're headed culturally.
I think we're doomed. If I ever see a male in the girls' bathroom with my daughter in there, it's not going to be pretty. We'll just leave that at that. There is no reason why any boy should be in any female's bathroom. I don't care if you look like one, act like one, dress like one.
Do you believe that
I think people are going to use that. I think maybe, you know, pedophiles will use that as an excuse to get into women's safe space. I just think it's going to be ugly. I don't think it's going to get better.
Do you believe your school board is committed to battling this, or are they going to adopt this stuff?
Well, they already have a gender-neutral bathroom.
Yeah.
So, and there's already one school district, I believe is Penn Ridge, that updated their bathroom policy. So I believe we'll follow suit. Maybe it'll take a little bit because of everything that's going on. But I think by the end of this year, most schools will have the same policy.
What are your feelings right now about the North Penn School District generally and your middle school daughter? And going forward, will she stay in the school district? Are you looking at alternatives?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. We're going to see how the rest of the year goes. She'll probably finish out this year. She is a student athlete, so that's very important to her. Next year, she will not be returning. And my elementary school student also will not be returning.
Are you looking at a different school district or something different altogether?
She will most likely be going to a private school, Catholic school. Completely out of North Penn District.
Well, I, for what it's worth, not that you asked, I think that's a brilliant idea, and I commend it, and I'm grateful to you for making that decision on behalf of your kids, Ms. Santiago. Thank you for your willingness to speak up and come on the show today to tell this story. I'm sorry about it. I really am very, very sorry, but I'm grateful that you've educated the rest of us. Thank you so much. So we turn now to another parent. Does not have students in this particular school, but did speak at this same school board meeting where Ms. Santiago spoke. Yanni Lambros, we played a clip of him a little earlier today. I can only describe it as righteous anger, Mr. Lambros. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm sorry to talk to you under these circumstances, but look, I say to you on behalf of grateful men everywhere, a lot of us are wondering, you know, a lot of women and girls are having to speak up about this. A lot of us have asked, where are the men? Thank you for being a man and standing up like a man at a school board meeting, sir.
No problem, sir. I'm just, in my mind, doing my job. It's what all men are supposed to do, protect women and children. At the end of the day, they have to come first. Common misconception, though, I'm actually not a parent as of yet. Me and my wife have been working on it. Just kind of had to say it to defend kids in the community. And I've had past experiences with the school board in the past.
Wow. Okay. Didn't know that. That makes you all the more impressive. You don't even have children in the district. You're just a citizen in the district.
Yes, sir.
Why did you feel the need to step up and go to the school board meeting as a citizen with no kids in the district?
It started actually a couple of years ago during the pandemic with the mitigation measures. I own a local business, a restaurant in Lansdale, Coffee Corner, and I had a lot of people reach out because I didn't enforce the policies. I was one of the very few in Pennsylvania who didn't push it on people at the time because I believe in freedom of choice. And fast forward till now, you know, I helped back then speak out. And I, just as Alyssa said, the board has, from my experience, always been kind of cold towards parents. I've seen parents speak up against the board about their kids being harassed or bullied or sexually harassed, problems kind of all over the board. And they don't really do anything. They just say they'll follow up with an email. Nothing gets done month after month. So I started speaking out because I don't have to be afraid. They can't fire me. You know, you want to try to shame me, fine. I'm a man of action, not words. I treat people with respect, and I live my life, you know, through a set of values and morals. Not really worried about the consequences of them making up rumors about me. I'm just trying to do what's right and encourage others to stand up and speak out, because if no one does, you know, this is just going to continue. We can all complain about it amongst ourselves, but if we do not take the proper action and say what we need to say, you know, it's not going to change.
This doesn't particularly matter, and forgive the question, and if you don't want to answer it, you don't have to. Okay, but I because I talk about this a lot on the show, my mind naturally goes here, and I'm just kind of curious, and I would have asked Ms. Santiago about it, but opted to not. Do you look at this through a political lens, what we're living through right now, this particular story, others like it? Is this political? Do you consider yourself a political person? Is there a political remedy to this?
I do believe there is. I wish there wasn't, because it's involving children and schooling. But unfortunately, yeah, I believe it is. I believe that the board is trying to hide the fact that this student who is the attacker is a biological male due to political reasons and their political agenda that they have been pushing.
Does that include the superintendent or just the board?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
No, the superintendent as well.
So you have no children.
I believe someone should resign over this, because it's, you know, it's not something that politics is one thing, but these are children and it's the safety of the children. So at the end of the day, politics should never come first. And I believe the superintendent and the board in this situation and others in the past have put politics front and center.
You, I think you mentioned you intend to have children if you're able someday. You'd like to?
Yes, sir.
And does this give you pause to consider how you'll educate them once you do have children?
Absolutely. Another reason, my own selfish reason for being there too, is because me and my wife are working on having kids, and I see the mess. I'm out there to help parents. You know, I speak to a lot of parents about this who are afraid of speaking out or can't because of their jobs. They're afraid of being threatened. So, you know, I go out and I do it for them. And I want it to be fixed for all kids and for my future kids. I don't think that this is right. And I feel very bad for women and little girls, especially because, from what I'm hearing, these policies, you know, they just make girls very uncomfortable. There's no reason a biological man needs to be in the locker room changing with biological females. There's no reason they need to be in the same bathroom. It's uncalled for.
Do you think the community, the North Penn School District community, do you think there will be an uprising? Will there be a change of the guard? Do you think people will challenge this school board in terms of elections? Or maybe it's, I don't know, are the politics overwhelmingly supportive of this sort of thing there? What's your read on it?
My personal take is the school board likes to manipulate language on how they word things and manipulate the general public into believing they're doing something good without letting people know the risk of certain policies, much like this one. I mean, it's easy to say, oh, we're inclusive. Oh, we accept everyone. Okay, but put some thought into it. This attack could have been prevented. Little girls also shouldn't have to be afraid to use the bathroom in a school they're stuck in 7 to 8 hours a day because boys are going into it. You know what I mean? It's something that it shouldn't be happening. And I hope that this will wake people up, because just like Alyssa said, she wasn't in meetings before. So a lot of parents just, you know, they're living their life. They're going to work. They're paying the bills. They're taking care of their children. Like we all want to do. We just want to live peacefully in the community and live our life. But by us doing that and not paying enough attention to the politicians, to the school board, to the superintendent, you know, they're sliding certain things under the rug and they're kind of just doing whatever they please.
So how about that? I mean, there's a guy who just stood up and was counted. Didn't have to, but did it at great personal cost to him, I suspect.
I would think so. That's what kept coming back to me, was it is so hard, I think, right now in our culture for people to have the confidence and the tenacity to go ahead and speak where it's necessary. This man owns a business, and that's the part that jumped at me. I think how many people are canceled, quote unquote, all the time. How many people are, don't go to this restaurant for this reason, don't go here. To put that on the line, knowing full well he's obviously in a community that is split, divided on some of these issues, and to speak out like that, really, again, I I listen to these when I'm like getting ready in the morning, or yeah. I'm like, ooh, I need to sit down and stop getting ready. Really impacted me, because I don't know many vocal. I see people get vocal about a lot of things. I don't see a lot of that male role model figure speaking out on this. I know it's because we're afraid. People are afraid to offend. They're afraid to insult. But the protection piece that he was willing to just, knowing full well there could have been consequences, I think is a big deal.
How many small business owning men in your community? Ask yourself this right now, wherever you live. How many men who own a small business and have no vested interest in the public school district would show up at a school board meeting and stand up and be counted and speak out on behalf of children they don't even have or children they may have in the future? I just don't know many, I'm sorry to say. And I guess I'm not broadly admonishing people, but
no.
This day and age, it is very, very difficult to find people who will stand up and be counted and put their butts on the line, including their businesses, because they find it that abhorrent what's going
right.
on. And then let's go to Ms. Santiago. You heard mm-hmm. that conversation just before that. Here's a mom who sounded very familiar, didn't she? I think you kind of know her. Didn't really have much to do with school board meetings in the past. Didn't know anything about them. Didn't know who served on these things. This happens. And now suddenly she says, I got to go get involved.
Yes. Well, and why? I mean, of course, it's your own personal kid. Your fear, your worry. Think about I'm always cautious when I use this word, but the trauma that had to have caused for a lot of those kids to sit there. They weren't able to call parents after the incident right away. They weren't able to leave. I think about these things, not knowing, you know, you're sitting at home, you're doing your thing, or you're at work, and this is your kid is watching someone's head get beaten, and then you can't get contacted. And there's a lot at stake here. We have the ineffectiveness of the administration, the total disregard from the school counselor, the fact that when she called and the counselor said to her, oh, I know exactly who you're referring to. They know.
Yes.
And that's the part where I think as a parent, my blood just, you know, I kind of felt like the flames coming out of my head, because it is it's too often that when you call about problematic issues, the counselors, the administrators, the teachers, they already know. And they're sitting there. And now I do think some of them are working behind the scenes. And I would hope and pray that that is exactly what was happening. But a hit list, you can't just sit back and ignore that.
And the superintendent sends out a letter vehemently denying that this child was transferred from another school knowingly with a violent past. He denies that. I think a lot of parents, people that I heard from.
I don't think I believe that, frankly.
Don't believe the superintendent. Right. So, of course, we can't know for
no.
sure.
Mm-mm.
But it is very reminiscent of the things we heard coming out of Loudoun County.
Oh, absolutely. More than that, to know that, again, I think I said this earlier, but just anyone who's struggling with their identity in this way, they're struggling, like, period, regardless of whether I understand it or agree with it or not, they're struggling. And when you combine that with the possibility, you know, the hit list idea, the threats, constantly referencing it all the time, what parent wouldn't want to blow up and go nuts? Not go nuts, but in that protective mode of watching out for what's happening, not just for your own kid, but that is where I hate that, you know, it takes a village, but it does take more parents like Mrs. Santiago. It's going to take a lot of them to speak up. Who knows what's going to happen with this child next?
Well,
but they're going to go somewhere, right?
There is a next. And by the way, let me just update you on that. As of the recording of this show this week, a Pennsylvania middle school student, biological male, identifying as a female, accused of beating a 12-year-old with a Stanley tumbler last week, has now allegedly attacked sheriff's deputies at a hearing this week. That's the latest news. The act of violence allegedly came after a judge ruled the student who attends Pembroke Middle School in the suburbs of Philadelphia was to be held at the Montgomery County Youth Detention Center in Eagleville because of the violent attack. The judge ordered the juvenile be detained at the youth center. Upon hearing this, the juvenile grabbed the nearby water jug, swung at sheriff's deputies, and resisted being handcuffed. So this is clearly a mentally troubled child. That goes without saying. And the question I have for all of us, this is a student with a, if you want, a rap sheet or a disciplinary issue from another school, transferred to a new school, within 2 days, beats a girl senseless with a Stanley mug, then is detained, then tries to assault sheriff's deputies,
right,
all in 1 week.
That's a lot.
And the media was careful to keep from everyone until this week, until, you know, quite frankly, I'm not patting myself on the back, but until our show pressed this issue, no one wanted to talk about this kid being a biological male. They kept trying, the media, mainstream media, national media, local media in Philadelphia, they all kept trying to refer to this kid as a girl. And I would just ask you, do you think it's relevant? Obviously, Miss Santiago did. Do we think it's relevant that everyone knows involved in this story is a biological male, that in fact this was not about two girls fighting? Is that important?
Absolutely.
Why to you?
I think, number one, well, I guess my first thought is that—
Because I'll guarantee, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there are people who will say, I'll guarantee there are people who will say, oh, it doesn't matter. These are two kids that are fighting, and this kid's troubled, and what's it matter? If the kid's troubled, what's it matter whether it's a boy or a girl? So go ahead.
Well, I think because then when you feed that issue into the bigger thing, like gender-neutral bathrooms, when you factor in parents that don't know what's happening sometimes with their kids, when you think about the teachers that are being asked or told, you have to use these pronouns and this identification and this name at school, and you can't go tell anybody else, and you have to kind of hide things from parents. And I also think the flip side, when you have parents who are being attacked, for lack of a better word, because they don't want to support what's happening with their child. I think we have a lot going on there. But this wasn't a girl fight. This wasn't a chick fight. This was a boy attacking and assaulting a girl. And if it had just been a male identifying as a male who came after a girl with a Stanley Cup sitting there, we would know instantly it was a boy and a girl.
And I'll also just say, I don't know in 2024 if this is still true, but I know that if I, as a male in school, I mean, when I think back to my own years in school, me, my friends, if we saw a male attacking a girl, I would like to believe that most male students would get involved and restrain a male from doing such a thing.
Absolutely.
I would like to think. Now, because this person we have to pretend is a girl, I wonder if that changes that dynamic too.
I would hope not. I would hope there would be – well, and I think now too, looking at it in terms of what happened with the sheriff's deputies too, right? This person has no regard for any, you know, has no regard for life, has no regard for personal boundary, that type of thing. I just don't want my daughter or any other girl to feel unsafe at school. That's a whole, I mean, people talk about safety all the time. So you can't sit there and talk about safety as our first priority, which most school districts do. That's almost always what they say now. Safety is our number one concern. Safety is our number one concern. Resource officers, this and that, all the programs that address mental health issues. But yet here we have at the core, a boy who is not sure what's going on in his own head or body.
Clearly mentally ill.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, does not know what is happening, doesn't know how to handle it, doesn't know how to address it. I would guess there's probably a host of other issues and just allowed to walk the halls. And frankly, if that's a boy identifying as a girl, what bathroom was that student going into? Where, you know, you think about, you separate the girls, you do the boys, you know, I don't know, groups of girls, things like that. That's so full of potential for danger in every aspect.
I have to say it. This is why Christian school, this is why homeschooling, this is why pod school or micro school. And as you heard Ms. Santiago say in the conclusion of the interview, she ultimately has concluded, while she never thought about it before, it's time to rescue her kids. She's going to go seek Catholic school. She absolutely should, because we're in a culture today, folks, where public schools are telling you kids can be any gender they want, and it's incumbent upon them to keep it secret from not only their parents, the kid, the student's parents, but from every other parent, and act as though this is normal. And as long as this social experiment continues with our children, public schools are going to continue to degrade, no matter how good the staff, the teachers, the administrators. This sickness, this social contagion impacting our public schools, will only degrade the quality worse. And so I implore you, if for some reason you're listening to this show and you're still not sure about making the leap, if stories like this don't convince you, nothing's going to. Our children are really now, I hate to say it, it's now a matter of our children being in danger, and not from outside forces, but from within.
Absolutely. I would even take it back from going to that, the idea of just right to a Christian school or right. I think number one, the big thing, we have to be talking about this in our homes. We have to be talking about it within our families, within your own personal community with kids. They have to hear from their parents, this is why we have, this is a problem. A boy cannot just run around saying he's a girl, taking who knows what drugs, undergoing who knows lack of therapy, some therapy that is encouraging it. But we have to start speaking within our own homes, within our own families, to start addressing it there before you even go one step further. I don't think you can, if you don't address it as right and wrong, what does it matter if you go to another school? You have to start.
Public school cannot be a mental health facility.
No, and that's public something
school
else.
Cannot be a mental health
that
facility.
That is one thing that I wrote down as I was thinking about this the other day. My heart breaks for counselors, for administrators who really do try hard, who really are working, and they are stuck within a system. And that is a problem with public schools. I don't know how big Pembroke Middle School is. I don't know how big the North Penn School District is in terms of students.
Like about 1,000 or so.
Okay. So you've got to have people to handle that. But when you start doing that, it starts taking away from what you're there for, which is the actual education. Because now what's going to happen? A bullying program? Some kind of program that's going to force the idea that we have to accept? Like, if I'm now sending my kid to a school and the issue becomes we have to accept a trans-identifying student as a reality, no thank you. We have to start thinking about that in terms with when it comes to education. What are the bigger goals? My goal is not to have my child be taught that that was okay, that that student had a lot going on, that student had a lot to deal with. Here's what's going on in their head, and that's okay, and that's normal. No, it is not. And so we have to think about that too.
You know, and again, as I say, this will continue. Obviously, there seems to be no stopping this snowballing issue. Now, in Europe, this is so amazing.
In Europe,
they're saying, pump the brakes, stop this. They're making national laws to stop this madness of experimenting with minors. However, in California, here's a story just this week. Supporters of a California trans youth ballot measure, they want to change the name assigned by the attorney general, but a judge has stepped in and said no. There is something on the ballot for Californians called the Restricts Rights of Transgender Youth. Restricts Rights of Transgender Youth. So this is an organization called Protect Kids California, who very simply collected signatures for a ballot initiative that they wanted to place on the ballot that basically said, California residents, do you want to keep minors protected from this gender surgery stuff that teachers have got to tell parents if kids are doing the gender confusion thing in classroom? That they got enough petition signatures to put this on the California ballot. The attorney general in California named it Restricts Rights of Transgender Youth. That's what it was, that's what it's called on the ballot.
Oh my gosh.
So the Protect Kids California people went to court and said, you're misrepresenting our petition. We just want to protect minors.
Right.
And you've called it the Restricts Rights of Transgender Youth Act. The judge, Sacramento County Superior Court Judge Stephen Aquito, I think I said that right, or Kisto, I don't know. Anyway, said that the attorney general was totally in the right. It's fine and it's going to stand. So you have a judge and an attorney general who have sided with this bastardization of the language because Protect Kids California simply said, we think minor children ought to not be able to make these decisions on their own and their parents ought to know. This is where we are. We have judges and public officials that have now decided keeping secrets from adults, allowing minor children to mutilate themselves, chemically castrate themselves, and keep these things secret in conjunction with teachers and adults in public schools. This is now something you actively have public officials trying to support in the United States.
And put laws into effect that basically take everything from you.
This isn't, I mean, I hate to say it, it's not getting better. And it seems like we're going to have to careen off the cliff on this thing before we go the way of Europe and say, oh, maybe we went too far.
I wonder what the difference is. Like, I know this isn't something we answer right here, but what's the difference? And not that Europe runs around as a model for everything that's good and right either, but they're getting this right.
Well, so they started it, though. I mean, they're a decade ahead of us.
That's true.
They
went
through
all
this bat crap craziness. And now
they're
reversing course.
Well, then I wonder why
we
can't look at them and learn.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the point?
You know.
We're not learning. So a couple of other headlines I thought while we're here this week, you know, talking about some breaking news this week. Kind of a break with protocol. We don't typically do shows like this, but the news has been pretty heavy. And I thought it worthy to bring up as well. Our college campuses, our Ivy League college campuses are erupting in anti-Semitism this week.
Not only our college campuses, but our high school places are as well. I know you have the...
While you find that, I'll just share, in case for some reason you don't know this week and late last week, dozens have been arrested at Yale and NYU. Pro-Palestinian students' protests are spreading. Columbia University has gone to hybrid classes until the end of the semester because all of these... I don't know if you've seen some of the footage. This is like the Hitler Youth movement of the 40s. It's getting terrifying. These college campuses have kids making human chains, blocking Jewish students from attending classes and going into buildings.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I blew a gasket this morning. I really did. There's a lot, right? And I just kept thinking in my head, I'm like, I'm so tired. I'm so tired.
This is America's youth. This is the public education system.
From middle school, seventh graders getting their heads beat in. And then we go up here, we go to high school, or then we go to college where I can't go to my classes because I'm Jewish and there's other people blocking me. And the people in charge at these universities are saying, best if you don't come on campus today. Not we're going to take care of the problem, but instead saying we can't take care of the problem. The police can't take care of the problem. So if you're, I don't know, at Columbia College or Columbia University and you're a Jewish student, sorry, don't come. We can't protect you. We can't keep you safe. I'll also say that this came to my attention the other day. The school district we had our kids in before we moved out here to Missouri put something up on their main district Facebook page. It was just a happy Passover, wishing all who celebrate a happy and meaningful Passover with love, or wishing all who celebrate a meaningful Passover with love, filled with love, family tradition.
If we're Jews, this is the week of Passover.
Right. So they put that up there, happy Passover. Now, it was like a troll person, but it came onto the school Facebook group. The school pulled the Facebook post off of it, but the response was, well, we're not wishing a happy Passover for the ones who are committing the genocide or supporting genocide, and starts going into a giant post about, I hope those who have this same faith of supporting Passover are also thinking about those Gazan children that had, you know, that they had to face all the issues and the problems that they had to deal with. So basically just came out slamming the post made by the school recognizing Passover. The school also recognized Easter a few weeks back, and they took the post down, didn't put anything up, didn't condemn the post, didn't say this isn't okay, didn't nothing, just took the whole post away and walked away from it. So in my opinion, I thought, Well, you just allowed a whole bunch of horrible rhetoric to be put out there. I don't think it's apparent in the district, but it's something that exists. It's a sentiment that exists right around the high school system. So we have a middle school system with one issue or multiple issues. We have high school, we have college. And I just think all of it really is, like you said, it's building, like, I don't know, to a crescendo in some ways, because where's our DEI program in that place? Like, why is our DEI program not our director coming at it and saying, that's problematic, we don't support that, let's talk about what anti-Semitic behavior looks like. And then here we go off to college where we're going to have to deal with it some more.
This is a suburban school that we fled. I mean, the whole impetus for making the leap, this whole show, is because of the district that Christine just referenced. You know, first it was COVID. Now it's this. This also happens to be the same community. If you remember hearing the story a couple of weeks ago, another biological male
running
in a women's locker room, yep, in a workout facility in that same community. Just to tell you a little something, a little background. When we moved to Philadelphia for my job, I knew instinctively 12 or 13 years ago, if we're going to go to Philadelphia, we've got to move as far away from the city as we can. And we did. And we moved as far west, literally as far west as I could justify driving
every day
from the suburbs into the city of Philadelphia every day. That was by choice instantly. And that was well before all this. And it was a great community. It was represented by who I would call conservative politicians, more traditional voters. And inside of a decade, and COVID was the cherry on the top, the place went bonkers. Mm-hmm. And within a year or two, this leafy suburb that we thought was safe from the madness has now been swallowed whole by it. And so I just say to you, just like we heard at the North Penn School District, if you think, well, I'm in a great district, or, well, it's not going to happen here, it doesn't come here, or I live far enough away from it, or, oh, no.
And notwithstanding, we're talking about a couple of separate issues for sure, but they're all in the same place.
Sure.
If you've got transgender issues going on, I guarantee you've got some anti-Semitism going on. You've got all these different things. And then I started really thinking about, I shared with you really, really briefly this weekend, we went out to dinner. We were driving around, stopped at a place for dinner. And I, at the very end of the night, I was like, I'm just going to pop in the restroom really fast before we go. And this has really been in my head. And when I read that story, when I heard about the Pembroke middle school story, it kind of came back to me too. I ran over to the restroom really fast, followed the restroom sign, turned a corner, and walked into what was a gender-neutral restroom. Mm-hmm. Didn't expect it. I wouldn't consider myself to be like so out of touch or whatever. It took me by surprise because there was no sign. It's not like at the airport where you're like, here's the gender-neutral, and then here's the women's, you can go in. And so I was like, well, I got to do what I got to go do. So ran in there. I didn't have an option at that moment. Was very uncomfortable, did not like it. Zipped on out of there as fast as I could. And I was texting a friend about it. And I said, I go out of my way to just keep things as normal as I can in my head most of the time. But this is something that's going to be, I think, more acceptable than not as we go forward. And she said back to me, because I said, I'm like, am I overreacting? Like, you know, it was floor to ceiling doors, but I don't want to be in there with a man walking out at the same time that I am. I just don't. It makes me uncomfortable. And if that makes me a bigot or whatever, fine, call me a bigot. But she said, or if it was your daughter walking out of a stall right next to a grown man after sitting in a restaurant or a bar and drinking and you don't know what's happening. No. Or what if it's your six-year-old nephew or eight-year-old nephew coming out of a restroom and here comes somebody? Like, there's so many problems with that scenario. And it really, when she said that, I thought, there's so much. As if I'm an adult, if I am for half a second thinking, should I be uncomfortable about this? Am I not uncomfortable about this? But then put it in the context of our kids, we absolutely should be uncomfortable with what is happening. I don't want my kids experiencing anti-Semitic hatred on their high school campus or if they go off to college. I don't want my daughter having to deal with the threat of a boy who says he's a girl beating her over the head. I don't want any of that. And so we have to continue to have those conversations. But I say that because as an adult who is not supposed to probably, in terms of our culture, speak out, I think it's important that we start having those conversations.
Couldn't agree more. So this is a show that, you know, maybe is not the peppiest, but it's an important one. It has to be. Yeah. We have to talk about this. It's why we do this show. It's why we've been committed to this. It's why we joined the Herzog Foundation. This is ball game. This is everything. This is the future of the country. This is the future of your children. And to lie to yourself and say, oh, I'm sure it's fine. It's not happening here. No, your kids are being taught this oppressed, oppressor Marxism garbage that's making them into little anti-Semite Hitlers. And they're being convinced that if they want to change their gender, God made a mistake and they can. And we can keep it a secret with teachers. This is what's going on in the hallways, in the classrooms of our public school. Not to suggest everyone who is inside a public school participates or wants to, but this is the reality, and I don't see it getting better. So for the love of all that's good and holy, rescue your kids. And so we'll pivot now because we'll close on a happier
Maybe
note.
Maybe happier, yeah.
A happier note, an inspirational guy, a guy I'd wanted to talk to a long time. His name is Kirk Cameron. You know him as the actor from Growing Pains all those years, but he and his wife and his family, for most of his career now, have really become advocates for Christ have been trying to figure out how to teach civics and faith in the public square, and they've done tremendous work for marriage and kids, and now he's got a new kids TV series.
Well, I was just going to say, and now moving into media, which is such a hot topic. I think that's amazing.
So take a listen to this conversation, and we'll come back to wrap it up. Hey, what a thrill. This is a guy I've wanted to talk to for a long time, and just because the nature of our time zones, it's always been kind of difficult, but we were thrilled that he was able to make time for us today, and I am thrilled at watching all of the, what I guess might have been called a career risk years and years ago, but not anymore. It's paid off because God's on the throne, and God's been steering it all along, and Kirk never doubted it. Kirk Cameron, ladies and gentlemen, actor, author, and a brand new children's television project called Adventures with Iggy and Mr. Kirk. Kirk Cameron, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Chris, it's great to talk with you this morning. And so good to, I don't know, this is like what you just said was better than a shot of espresso in the morning to make me smile. You're just talking about God being on the throne, and you're talking about taking risks for the good and for the right and for the true. And man, you're the kind of guy that I want to hang out with.
Brother, thank you. I just hung out with your sister at the National Religious Broadcasters Association convention in Nashville, Bridget, who's written that new book.
Oh, well, that's great. Yes.
But she told us very specifically about you, and I didn't know the story about how she says that you were literally the one that brought all of your siblings to Christ. I assume you know that story.
Well, I've heard her tell that story. And of course, I played a small role in it, but you know, God has ways of doing things that are often unexpected and they come out of left field. I mean, I was an atheist growing up, and it was a pretty girl that led me into church when I didn't want to have anything to do with religion. And lo and behold, I become a Christian, and the dominoes began to fall. My family was kind of in a tough spot with my parents breaking up. They were separated. And when I started going to church, everybody started following suit. And one by one, the Lord began to save them all.
I just thought that was the coolest thing. And your sister was so gracious in her thanks to you for that. And I don't know. I mean, I know you don't spend, you're a humble guy, so you probably don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. But that's a bold statement. She said that you basically, in her view, kind of just, you know, you re-steered the family, refocused the family, made them who they are today. I think that's an amazing tribute to you.
Well, you know, I have six children, and if I really had the ability to steer people right into the kingdom of God, all of my children would be walking with Jesus. Yeah. But I know that that's not the case. I can't do that. And I certainly didn't do it with my parents or my siblings either. God deserves all the credit for that. But he does use us as vessels and channels of his power. Right. So amen to all the good things God's doing through us.
And I will also commend you it's compliments all around. I sat through a presentation not terribly long ago in my church, the Patriot Academy folks and Rick Green, and your involvement with that was deep as well. My point in all of this is, you have seen avenues where you can advance the ball for the kingdom, and you take them. And it's like you're a rolling rock gathers no moss. You just keep moving and you keep going in new directions. And I want to talk about the new project, but it seems like you're jumping strategically at opportunities to advance that ball. Am I interpreting that right?
Well, that encourages me too, Chris. That's what I want to do. I want to feel like that rolling rock that gathers no moss. What I'm hoping is to pick up, some other rocks along the way, and we can snowball together as we pick up momentum for the sake of what is true and what is good and what is right. I think there's too many believers out there that lament the culture, and we, because we've gotten so discouraged, have really become professional whiners.
Yes.
Instead of being winners and creators of the culture, I think that's what we were created to do. I think that we were created to actually go into all areas of our society, starting with our homes, with our jobs, with our churches, our communities, our schools, and even the halls of Congress, locally and nationally, and create the environment that leads to people's blessing and their flourishing, rather than sitting on the couch watching Newsmax or Fox News with our head in our hands, crying in our Chick-fil-A soup while the culture deteriorates around us. That's not a winning plan.
That is one of
and
those.
And I don't think that's...
Yes. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's not the plan. And that's not the trajectory of the gospel. The good news is that good wins out over evil. And I believe that that happens in time, in history, in the land of the living. We don't need to wait to heaven for the victory party. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory when Jesus rose from the dead. So let's kick in. Let's knock off the moss. And let's work together to pick up more momentum for what is good and true.
Kirk Cameron, it has been gnawing at me, this gender stuff, exclusively because, in my opinion, I don't know if you view it the same, if you can convince the public that God makes mistakes and that you can just monkey around and change your gender, he didn't mean to make you the way you are, if you're effective in selling that message, then you can effectively just negate God altogether. Can you not? That seems to strike at the heart of the whole argument.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that's the point.
Yeah.
I think that is the plan. If we do a little digging into history, we find that the whole government school, the whole public school idea comes out of the mind of a man named Horace Mann, who in Massachusetts set that whole system up. And you look at those that he taught, you get down to John Dewey, who was a signer of the Humanist Manifesto. And the whole point is ultimately to try to pull off this charade that you can be good without God. And without God, you ultimately become your own standard. And now anything is acceptable. And that's how we wind up where we are today. We're a boat without an anchor. We're a kite without string. And so now boys can get pregnant. And now girls can have beards and whatever. Yeah. But good becomes evil. Evil becomes good. And up becomes down and down becomes up. And if we don't right the ship, if we don't re-anchor ourselves to things that are true and good, the future doesn't look good. But like you said, we know the one who's on the throne, and his power working in the hearts of everyday people can turn things around.
So there you go. Pretty cool guy, right?
Absolutely. I really enjoyed the positivity.
Yeah.
I love that he wants to be your friend. Well, I was like, well, you're kind of you're a cool guy. I'll be your friend too.
Yeah, he doesn't know me.
No.
Obviously.
But you're a cool guy. Yeah, of course you are. But I just thought his take on things, keeping it positive, like it is really, really easy. We just showed, it's easy to get mired down in all that is wrong.
They said we can complain or we can take action.
Or we can take action. Mm-hmm. And I thought that has to be the mantra, I think, of the Mrs. Santiago's, of the coffee shop owners, of the people at the school board meetings. We have to be able to take action. And I also really thought it was important to remember, because as we talk about Christianity a lot, I think we have to do this. We have to remember that these people that are in the middle of spewing hate, that are in the middle of saying I do not like the way I was made, that want to change things, that they are the ones that do need the prayers. They are the ones that God is actively looking for and trying to find. I think we have a lot of lost people, clearly, as demonstrated by what we've talked about today. And I thought, good for you to take, like, you can take your action, but also be remembering there's a lot of prayer that's needed rather than just a constant, this is awful, 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 awful. We need to be keeping these things in perspective, too, in terms of prayer.
Love to hear your thoughts about today's show. Love a five-star review and a written review, if you're so inclined, at Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Let us know if you'd like to contribute to a show, if you have a guest or someone you think would make a great episode of Making the Leap. Stay in touch with us on all social media, and we will see you back here next time.
Making the Leap is a podcast presentation courtesy of the Herzog Foundation. We'd love your feedback by rating us and commenting on the show.
And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Making the Leap.